TGIF, everybody. Happy Friday. Thanks so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We appreciate it each and every time you spend some time with us. Today's show is brought to you by our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. So when that next Disney adventure is on the horizon, whether it's sailing one of the awesome ships of the Disney Cruise Line, headed down to Walt Disney World for an amazing time at the best place you can imagine down in Central Florida, or headed out to California to Disneyland, there's a great travel agent standing by to make some magic and, of course, get you the best deal on your Disney vacation. They're a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for outstanding guest service and the number of trips they book each and every year, because their guests come back time and time again to plan amazing Disney adventures. So check them out today. Support the folks who support us and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. They're over at themagicforless.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1233 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Friday to you. Thanks, as always, for downloading the show, streaming the show, for spending about 30 minutes with us here talking Disney. I know hopefully Walt Disney World or Disney Cruise Line, Disneyland is one of your favorite places, and you've made some great memories there over the past years, and you're probably looking forward to your next Disney adventure on the horizon. So hopefully today we can have some fun talk to escape. It's been kind of a heavy week, so we thought we'd just do a show where we can kind of share on social media over the weekend and just, you know, dream about one of our favorite places. So today we're going to talk about some of those things in our everyday life. When you see them, it's like, oh, that reminds me of Walt Disney World. Because there's a few weird things that are in my community or things that I'll see every once in a while, and it's like immediately drawn to Disney memories. So I know you have a bunch of them wherever you are in the world, wherever you're catching this show today. And we want to hear those on social media, on our Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. But we're going to share ours, and I cannot wait to read yours over the weekend. So joining me today for this fun adventure, just for a little escapism here on a Friday, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. Happy Friday, Ricky.
Yay! Thank goodness it's Friday, let me tell you. Seems like maybe they should use that as a slogan for something.
Man, we needed this one. We just need to hopefully have a chill weekend, you know, relaxing, getting some college football, some good fall weather, maybe some, bonfires where you live. It's a little cooler. I don't do the pumpkin spice, but I know a lot of people do, you know, whatever it takes. Get
love
in the fall mood.
The yeah. Pumpkin spice.
I found something that was really good that was pumpkin spice this weekend, and I don't remember what it was. So clearly it made an impression on me.
Has Disney done a pumpkin spice Frankfurter at Casey's yet that you can mobile order? You know,
oh,
speaking
gosh
of Wednesday's show, have they done that yet?
I throw up. What is wrong with you? Oh, my God. Oh, that's so gross.
It could be a crossover with the Starbucks. You know, go across the street, you get a little.
No, please do not get a hot dog and like dunk it in a pumpkin spice latte. That would be the worst.
Hey, man, they have ice cream and donuts. That could be the next, perfect marriage.
No, let's not start that, please. Oh, I'm getting sick just thinking about it.
All righty. Well, that's a good note to move on to our other co-host.
That's
it. We have Pam Forrester. She's up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You can Google how far away you are from Pam today and let me know. So how's it going, Pam? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. And I'm in the 16066 zone. So if you're putting it in Google Maps, you can use that as the zip. So anyway, happy Friday. I'm excited to kind of talk this topic because I'm glad that there are people other than myself that have the everyday remind them of Disney, and the everyday and sometimes totally unrelated. So I think this will be a fun one.
All right. So I'm going to lead off because I kind of came up with this idea. We're talking about, you know, I wanted to have something light here on a Friday. Sometimes you just, you know, you don't want to, you know, dissect, ADRs and, you know, the best character meals, or, you know, let's dive into a moderate resort. We're just going to have some fun and, you know, kind of, you know, just have a good Friday here because I think we need it this week. So one of the things that in my everyday life, you know, this will not apply, but you might have, maybe you have this somewhere in your community. So if you live in St. Louis, you may have seen this. And if you haven't, you may see it the next time you drive past if you're up in North St. Louis County. So near me, we have a road called Missouri Bottoms, and it's like on the Missouri River. It's in the flats, and it floods when it rains, you know, for a long time. So the road closes, it goes underwater. But most of the time you can go on this. It's like a little shortcut out to St. Charles, this, you know, place we go a lot. So anyway, that's unimportant to you. But on this road, no kidding, there is a tree. And it stands out. I mean, there's a ton of trees. It's like forest between the road and the river. But there's this one tree, and it looks like a baobab tree on Kilimanjaro Safari. It's got like a white trunk, and it stands out because it's the only one that looks like this. It doesn't have any leaves on it ever. It's got like pointy branches. And I am not kidding. And you know what? The weirdest thing. Here's why I bring this up. I've always thought that was like a baobab looking tree, but I never said anything because my wife already knows I'm nuts. And I usually don't hold anything back, but I'm like, I'm seeing stuff like that's, you know, a bridge too far. Like that I'm seeing a baobab tree here in Florissant, Missouri, you know, right on the side of Missouri Bottoms Road. And then one day, because we go on this road probably, you know, daily, one day she goes, look at that tree over there. Does that remind you of something at Disney? I'm like, yes, it does. That's a baobab tree from, yes. And because it's weird. It looks just like it, but it's a real tree. And of course the one, I hate to spoiler, but I don't think it's a real tree on Kilimanjaro Safaris. But I know. But I mean, I like every time we go by it, and I just, you know, like now it makes my day because I see it, you know, right before we go up this big hill. And it's one of those things that like, it totally takes me. And when I'm riding the safari, I think of that tree now. Like it goes in reverse. Like I'm like, oh, there's the Missouri Bottoms fake, you know, real baobab tree, I guess. I don't know. But it's one of those things, like it makes me happy because I pass it frequently and it reminds me of all the fun times we've had on the safari. And it's so bizarre. Like it's hard to get a picture of because, you know, you're flying on that road, but I'll try to get a picture and post it on social media so everybody can tell me if the Florissant baobab tree. But I have that in my community. It reminds me of the fun times at Animal Kingdom. So, Pam, what do you have in your everyday life that takes you instantly down to Walt Disney World or to just a Disney destination?
So anytime, and this could be just about anywhere, but I'm somewhere and they have some kind of indoor water feature, be it a fountain or a little pond, or you're at the mall and they have kind of, you know, a fountain going on there. We all know that like those water features all kind of have that smell. And for some reason, I know this sounds odd, but it really reminds me of Disney. The, you know, the smell that you smell when you're riding, like It's a Small World or Pirates of the Caribbean, they really remind me of that smell. And it's like, I think that the sense of smell, in addition to your ability to remember the lyrics to every song from your childhood, are really powerful ways to connect with a memory. I mean, if you smell something and that's ingrained or you associate that with a certain thing, you know, you really associate it with them. And it almost makes me feel when I smell it and I'm not at Disney, like almost homesick. You know that feeling? Like a deep, like, oh, I really wish I was there right now, you know? And it does it to me every time. So
I think smell just does that to you because, you know, and I'll throw in my second one real quick because it just relates to that and it's not a big story or anything. And I think a lot of people have this same, you know, connection to Walt Disney World, especially for folks that travel in the summer. You know, we used to exclusively always go just in the summer because, you know, we go once a year, we're teachers, that's when we went. And when it rains here in St. Louis during the summer and you're in a place that has like fresh blacktop, now not concrete, but like blacktop, like a Six Flags or like a parking lot for a shopping mall. And, you know, a good July rain comes down, it's like 100 degrees. There's a specific smell like that takes me right to what it smells like at the Magic Kingdom during a thunderstorm, because blacktop with rain on it has just, it's instantly that same smell. It's like, whoosh, I'm back, you know, fighting the crowds at the studios, you know, in July or something. So yeah, smell is strong. Smell, and you know, Disney knows that. They use that to their advantage, you know, things like the bakery and stuff.
So for sure. Stuff.
All right, Ricky, what do you have in your everyday life that takes you right back?
I'm going with the smell too, actually. So it's usually when I'm near an escalator or something like that, there's this mechanical smell that I will sometimes get a whiff of. And it reminds me, and I'm not entirely sure exactly what it reminds me of, But like, which attraction? Part of me thinks it's like Pirates at the end, you know, with the speed ramp up, and part mm-hmm. of me thinks that it's it could be Spaceship Earth, you know, where they've got the ramp going around there. Or it's somewhere that I've smelt. I know it's at Disney that I've smelt this mechanical smell before, and it's the same mechanical smell, because obviously they kind of use probably the same kind of ingredients of you know, like lubrication, and it's probably a lubrication smell that I'm smelling.
Wow. When Ricky smells lubrication, she thinks of Disney World.
That's weird. A little WD-40.
That's right, exactly. So I don't think that's what they were going for, but that's like, that's always been one of the things that I associate with Disney, is just it's that mechanical smell, and when I smell it, it's like, okay, yeah, I feel like I'm back at Disney World. So I don't know, it's a weird smell, but please audience, don't make me feel like I'm a loser all by myself over here.
Well, no, all these things are weird.
I mean, say that you smell that too.
They're all weird. Like, all these things are weird because I think we're all huge Disney fans, but we have these memories that just take us right back there. When it's almost like startling when something pops out at you like this in your everyday life, and like, I can't believe, like, I see the, you know, Disney in this, or I see this, you know, vacation memory in this. And one of those is, and this is a pretty obvious one, I'm sure a lot of people have this one. We live very close to the airport here in St. Louis. We were about 10 minutes away from the airport. Southwest is our dominant airline at our airport, and Mallory and I walk to school every day. And so at 8:25, and I don't know why this is, maybe Jay could let me know, or, you know, somebody else that works in the airline industry, but it seems like there's no takeoffs like during most of the morning. But then when 8:25 hits, and when you run every morning, you notice these kind of things, like, because you're out there and you say, oh, wow, there's like a parade of Southwest airline flights that go out from like 8:25 to 8:35. They all take off like within, it's like they must be lined up, but there's no other action for the hour before that. I don't know why they don't spread them out, but I guess that's a popular time to fly. So as we're walking to school, we'll see all these Southwest jets pass, you know, overhead, and there's nothing like, you know, Mallory and I every day, you know, we wonder, and we could look this up, of course, on an app and see exactly where that plane's going. You can even point your phone at it and it'll tell you. I have an app that does that. But, you know, we always, you know, imagine that, okay, there's families on that Southwest jet. It is going to MCO. You know, some kids are on there going to Disney for their first time. They've got on their ears. And it takes me back to, you know, over the last couple of years when I've started flying, I've really enjoyed the whole experience of the entire vacation as far as transportation, getting there and having the airport experience. And I know that sounds weird because a lot of people despise going to airports, hate it, but it's still kind of a novelty to me. So I like going there very early and having a meal at the airport, you know, or just getting there, you know, way early and looking out the windows at all the different planes and seeing where everybody's coming, you know, from and going to, and watching the runways and watching the planes come in from those great, you know, windows right there by the seats before you board your plane. So every morning, you know, as soon as I see a Southwest flight, because that's all I fly, you know, I'm there. Like, I'm like, oh man, I wish that was me this morning, getting up early, heading to Lambert Airport, going through security and, you know, getting there, having a Dunkin' Donut, whatever it is, and getting on that plane. I'm sure a lot of people have that one because you see, you know, whether you're, if you live by an airport, you have your preference for your airline. But for me, it's Southwest. And every morning, if it's a clear morning, those Southwest planes just glisten as they fly over because they're still pretty low by our house. And it's, I'm immediately like drawn to my next Disney vacation and previous ones. So that's one for me. So Pam, what about you? What's another?
So I have another one where it's kind of, you know, tapping into that kind of what I was talking about before, but it isn't smell. It really is music. And it's not a particular Disney song or anything like that, but it's really any place if I'm someplace and the background music is really synced well with the experience. I think that that's one of those things, one of those little details that Disney tends to do so well. And that is to kind of have the perfect background music for where you are. And that changes, you know, where, you know, you'll walk through different lands in the Magic Kingdom and hear the music change, or even if different parts of the, like a parade, you know, it's not the same continual song over and over again, the same continuous song over and over again. It's different variations of that song and it changes according to the floats or, you know, things like that. But that's true of all their parks. You know, when you look through Epcot, as you walk through World Showcase, of course, they have music that kind of lends itself to the different countries there that are represented. But Future World does such a great job. You know, in the beginning, always at the beginning of the day, there seems to be that one opening Epcot loop, right? But there are other parts of the day where there's other music that's playing. But what I'm trying to get to is, if I'm somewhere, and it can be really anywhere, sometimes it's like a restaurant that has chosen really music that just fits the atmosphere perfectly and lends itself to it. It's not obtrusive. It's not something even particularly memorable unless you're focusing on it, but it's just a small detail that really lends itself to creating that perfect experience. And I think that's something that Disney does better than just about anyone else out there.
Now, let me ask you this, Pam, kind of along that same lines, because I bet you a lot of folks do this. So speaking of restaurants, like in your hometown, we have restaurants that we compare to, like it's our St. Louis equivalent of this Disney restaurant. For example, we have a pizza place that I think has the best pizza in St. Louis, and it's kind of a homey little Italian place. It's called Frankie Tocco's in St. Charles, and we compare that to Mama Melrose, because it's an Italian restaurant there. We have this place called Kendrick's Barbecue that now we call our homecoming. Now, am I the only person who does that, or do you have like in Pittsburgh, like, this is our, you know, Gico, or this is our comparable restaurant to the Wave or something? I mean, am I the only one that does that?
No, absolutely not. I mean, there's a pizza restaurant actually near where Steve works called Piccolo Forno, and we always say it's like our Pittsburgh via Napoli. Or there's also one that's not far from me, Il Pizziola, that has the same kind of thing. It has that kind of Napoli-style pizza. That really reminds me of Via Napoli. And when it's done well, it's done well. And we love those locations. But we have other places like that. We have other places that are just like kind of cool, like places we'll go if we're just going to go get, like, let's say drinks and apps, which Steve and I do a lot on the weekend. We'll just be like, what do we want to do? And we'll just go and get a drink and some appetizer somewhere. But there's places in Disney World that will do the same thing. And so we'll be like, do you want a Disney World kind of dinner? And we'll be like, yeah, let's like hit up our local territory lounge-esque kind of place. So, I mean, because we do that a lot there. But yeah, I mean, there really are things like that. So, yeah, we do it.
Let me ask Ricky, now down in Atlanta or back here at home in St. Louis, do you have any restaurants that you say are kind of like your Walt Disney World restaurant doppelganger in your ordinary life that you go to?
You know, you are absolutely correct. I 150% have not only Walt Disney World doppelgangers, but I have official Walt Disney World and restaurants. So restaurants that are in Walt Disney World that are also here in Atlanta. Thank goodness for living in a big city, right? So say I'm in the mood for, you know, pizza, I can now go to the newly opened Blaze Pizza that's here in Atlanta. It just gives me that nice feel of, oh my gosh, it feels like Disney. It's delicious pizza, and I get to eat it. If I'm in the mood for a cupcake, I can go to the Sprinkles Cupcake that's here in Atlanta. If I'm in the mood for homecoming, I can go to the place that's called Southern Art, which is also owned by Chef Art Smith. So, you know, if I want really expensive steak, I can go to STK here in Atlanta. So there are places that are here in Atlanta where if I am feeling the Disney itch and I really want to eat Disney-inspired food, I can absolutely 150% get something that I've had at Walt Disney World, and that's awesome.
and again, we turned it right back to food, just like Wednesday. You know, it didn't take us long here, so that's what it is. So, yeah, and I think that's, you know, kind of fun because, you know, a lot of times on the weekend, like Pam said, you know, we'll try to decide, well, what do you want to do? You know, we want to go out and have a meal, you know, because it's the weekend, and, you know, a lot of times we'll say, man, I wish we could go to Whispering Canyon or something, you know, like something along that. Look, we have a place called Lottawatta. What's it called? Lottawatta Creek.
I think
it's totally like Whispering Canyon. It's over in Illinois. So, you know, it's like you can't, if you look hard enough, you can find like a theme or just a menu that's close enough that you can pretend like you're going to, you know, a Disney restaurant. Because let's face it, we all have long stretches that we can't get down there. So we want to, you know, try to bring that back to our everyday life. So good stuff. All right, Ricky. So what's another thing that you see down in Atlanta or back home here in St. Louis that reminds you of being there?
So, speaking of going somewhere that brings it back to having a little bit of Disney in my everyday life, and I know that this is something that so many people have the ability to do too, and they probably do the same thing, and I'm just so thankful that I really don't live that far away. So when I am in the mood to get my Disney fix, I go to the mall and I go to the Disney store. Like I said, there's one that's really not that far from my house, and you know, I love getting to go there, and now it seems like they're getting a few more things that maybe they remind me of things that I would see in the park. Like, for example, I just went this past weekend, and if you saw my Insta story, I was sharing things about how they had the Beauty and the Beast, like, you know, the light up cups that everybody was losing their minds over this summer.
Yeah, the ones that were like $50 on eBay.
They had them at the Disney store, and I was like, oh, should I buy one? I don't really need one, but everybody was losing their minds over it. You know, like, I was just debating, should I get this? Should I not? They had a cup that kind of looked like the, it was like the poison apple, you know, from Snow White. And it kind of looked like the poison apple that they have, you know, that they, you know, the actual apple, the candy apple that they sell. You know, there's always little things that I'm finding at the Disney store. Right now, they have some, because it's Halloween, so they have some Halloween-inspired, like, shirts that I think would be adorable to wear at Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. And I tried to convince Brian that we needed to buy these, and he was like, no. So I did not get the shirts. But they have, you know, some Mickey ears right now that they're trying to sell, I guess probably because, you know, it's Halloween. And they had, like, the Pluto hat and the Goofy hat, and they had, you know, just stuff that I haven't seen at a Disney store in a while that really reminded me of being in the parks and stuff they would sell in the parks. So I don't know if it's because of that whole Shop Disney thing that they're doing now or what, but I feel like they're getting a few more things in the parks or in the store that they that could, you know, are things that they had in the parks. And actually, one of my favorite things to do is when we go to Nashville every couple of months. It's kind of the halfway point between St. Louis and here. So we meet my parents up there, friends of ours up there. And there's the outlet mall that's up there, and they have a Disney store. And a lot of times they will have outlet on clearance merchandise from the Disney parks, whether it's either Walt Disney World or Disneyland. Usually it's Disneyland, but that's where I'll get a lot of the merchandise too that I'll find, like the Luigi's Flying Tire that I have in the background of our videos. That came from that Disney store because I was like, well, I need this, and it's on clearance, so this is coming home with me now.
See, here's my thing with the Disney store, because I thought about that, and like, we have a Disney store outlet that's opened in the last couple of years here in St. Louis, and the thing is, I've gone in there a couple times because, you know, like, I'll be a good husband and dad and go with the girls shopping, and it's miserable, and, you know, most of the stores I could care less about, so like, oh, there's a Disney store, you know, between that and like an Apple store or Nike store, it's about it. But, you know, I'll go in there, and like, I want it to do that for me. Like, I want it to give me, like, oh man, I feel like I'm in the Emporium.
But
it doesn't for me. Like, it's always like kids' clothes and like boring stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, it does not take me there.
I absolutely 100% agree with you. They really, for a while, they seemed to be focusing more on the kids' aspect of the Disney store. They did the whole, you know, princessy decor thing, and, you know, it was great. It was fine. But, you know, once again, I think that they missed that adults like Disney too. And so I think that they were kind of missing that demographic for a while. And I think now that they are rebranding as Shop Disney, and I so regret the fact that my Disney store just rebranded themselves, you know, just redid the redecoration last like fall. And I was like, no, because if you've seen, they just recently announced they were kind of rebranding the Disney store again. Mm-hmm. And the ones that they have that they're showcasing, they look beautiful, and they look like something that I would be interested in going to. And they from my understanding, is they are going to be selling more things that appeal to all ages. So they're going to have more things that are more adult again, which I'm so thankful for. And I at least hope that trend, even though my Disney store is the latest iteration of Disney store, that they will start selling more adult merchandise, things that maybe I would be interested in purchasing once again. Because again, I think they are missing the mark on that, you know, by focusing so heavily on the young kids you know, parents want to buy stuff too. I'm just saying.
Exactly. So, Pam, before we go around the horn one last time and wrap this up, Pam, what are your thoughts on Disney Store? I mean, is it something that makes you feel comfortable, like, oh man, this takes me back to my favorite place, or is it one of those places that kind of leaves you longing for more? Because that's where I am. Like, I go in there and I'm just like, it doesn't do what I want it to do for me.
I agree, and that's how I felt for a while. I can remember the Disney Store being kind of a replacement for being in one of the Disney parks, and this was a long time ago. I mean, Hannah was actually pretty young when that was really the last time that that was the case. They had unique merchandise. They had kind of collectibles. They had, I mean, it was just really a cool thing. It was stuff you couldn't get everywhere else. And that was kind of cool. A lot of the stuff, you know, we were in one of the flagship stores when I was in New York City last weekend. And a lot of the stuff that was there is stuff that I frankly could get at my, you know, nearest like discount store, like Target or Walmart or something like that. They had like a lot of Star Wars toys, which I really like to see, but those are, you know, the ones that they have at every store that you go to. And they had, you know, stuff like that. They just didn't have the uniqueness. And it was something that maybe, I guess, maybe it didn't work for them. Maybe they found that they were, you know, priced too high because of the unique merchandise or whatever. I don't know if that's the case or not, but what I can tell you is that I was so much more willing to pay their prices and not even think about it when I felt like it was unique merchandise. It was merchandise that I felt I could only get there, could only get in the Disney parks and things like that. And I would love to see some of the Disney parks merchandise in the store. For me, I think that's what used to take me to the Disney store more often, is that it was a feeling like it was unique and it was very closely associated with the parks to me. And now it just doesn't feel that way anymore. So
yeah, and I see, you know, because I see the Disney logo in a mall and it gets me excited. You know, that's my company, you know, that's what I love. Right. And so, you know, I'm drawn there, but then I'm left longing when I go through the store. But, you know, I think is, you know, retail, this is a podcast for another day, but we'll wrap it up here shortly. But, you know, as retail becomes more online shopping, which we appreciate, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You know, but the thing is, like, I know, sorry, I throw that in there, but I'm just saying, like, I think that retail spaces and malls and places like that need to be seen as a place of exposure to a product now more, as, you know, because people, like you said, you can buy anything you want on the Shop Disney Parks app. You know, like, you can have that to your house in a couple days and you can get your size, your color, and it's way easier than going through the racks, you know, shopping physically, I think. You know, that's just, I almost sound like a millennial. I'm not, but I like shopping that way. But the thing is, like, you know, I think that they could use that as a gateway, because everybody either, I shouldn't say everybody, a lot of people, everybody listening to this show just about, is curious about or would like to at least consider going to a Disney destination, whether it's Disneyland, Walt Disney World, a Disney cruise, even in Adventures by Disney, which, you know, 95% of the population of the United States probably has no idea is a product. You know, if you could use that as a gateway in a busy mall to just expose people to that and then point them in the right direction to the website or to, you know, a great travel agency or something like that, you know, like, that's an opportunity missed, I think. And maybe, you know, I'm not in marketing and that kind of stuff. That's not my forte, but it's just a layman. I mean, Pam, am I missing out? I mean, it seems like that's a great avenue for exposure and then go on from there. But it seems like it's more retail, retail, retail.
It really is. And I think that's what I was trying to, you know, I wasn't saying it very eloquently, but the thing that used to take me to the Disney store on a frequent basis was the feeling that I got when I was there. It reminded me so much of the feeling I got when I was in a Disney park, and it doesn't feel that way to me anymore. It doesn't feel special. And I just really am not sure, did the prices of what the Disney store used to be really price them essentially out of the market? I don't know. And it's really hard to tell, because after that point, they, of course, sold to the children's store, and there became that period in the time. Then Disney bought that back. I just really wish that they would take it back to what it was, at least as a Disney fan. Now, maybe that didn't work for them, and maybe they're absolutely privy, and I hope they are privy to information that I'm not privy to, and they're looking for different ways. But, I mean, people lose their mind over, like, Mickey-shaped fill-in-the-blank when they're at Walt Disney World.
Exactly.
So it seems like that could translate to the general public in a lot of ways.
100%. I mean, just look at, say, you had the, maybe a bad example, but you had the Orange Bird Funko Pop and the Figment Funko Pop, which people literally lost their minds over. And I know that that's a Disney, you know, specific-y thing, but, you know, if you had that at the Disney store, I would have bought one. Like, you know what I'm saying? I totally would have bought that. So I get what you're saying. I feel like they relied too much on the kid aspect of, we have to make this a kid's toy playland. And, you know, like I said, adults go in there too. And if you're not having enough to appeal to them, they're not going to necessarily spend as much or, you know, stay in there as long or whatever. You know, they have the stuff, the toy, you know, the artwork that you can draw and, you know, the TVs, and they have that to distract the kids while the parents are shopping. But if the parents don't have anything that they want to buy, then they're not going to spend as much time, you know, in the store. So I'm with you 100%.
Do they still sell the tickets at the Disney store? Because I know they used
to.
No. They don't? Mm-hmm. I know they used to, because that's a big deal. You go there and buy some Magic Your Way tickets. Anyway.
No. Like I said, it's all like, it's become just a giant kids slash toy store. That's all it really, you know, with a few adult shirts and, you know, mugs and ornaments a lot of the time. So,
cool. Yeah. All right. Well, let's go around the horn one last time. So we got a nice Disney store segment in here today.
Yeah. Wow. We got it on a different topic.
Didn't plan on talking about that, but it's, you know, some good points there. So Pam, what's one other thing that you see in your everyday life that immediately takes you back to your Walt Disney World trips?
So when I take a shower, I feel like I'm at Disney World because I purchase. Wait. I know, right? I take a shower all the time here at home. It's not just on vacation. But I really love the smell of the Disney H2O products, particularly the sea salt ones, so much that I purchase them, in particular the body gel, to use at home. And I use it every day. I love the smell of that. It's just, it was first on the cruise lines when they changed to that H2O, that scent and all those products. And of course, now they've rolled it out at many of the resorts. And there's really just a very clean scent to that. And it, you know, that scent made me so happy that I figured I needed to have it at home every day. So for the low, low price of whatever it is when I order from H2O, and of course, it's not the low, low price, but it is worth it to get a little Disney in your day. We have that at home. And the other thing is, it's a scent that I don't feel is too feminine or masculine. I think it really is kind of a gender neutral scent. It just has a very clean, almost sea salty like smell to it. Just love having those products at home.
It smells like Mickey Mouse. I mean, what else can you say? You know, hey, well done, H2O.
They found a way to make it happen.
That's it. We need the smell. We need like the aroma of a Disney guest. And then the chemists got to work on it. You know, they sniffed a few people going in Spaceship Earth. You know, maybe somebody coming out of Casey's with a sauerkraut hot dog and all that good stuff.
Hopefully not that.
And then they ran their formulas and bam, you got your H2O stuff. Anyway.
There we go.
All right, Ricky, wrap us up. What's one more thing that you see in your everyday life that, boom, it reminds you of a Walt Disney World trip? And, you know, during those long stretches.
So, you know, one thing that Brian and I like to do is there's this little small town here in Atlanta area called Dahlonega. And it really is just this small town feel, kind of feels a lot like Main Street USA. So we'll go up there for kind of a, you know, old timey kind of experience. But the one thing that we love to do up there, and it really takes me back to Walt Disney World, is, and I'm sure that if you go, you know, somewhere in your hometown to a place that's very similar, you'll have the same exact feeling. They have a fudge shop that's there. And obviously they sell a bunch of different candies as well, you know, things that they've made, confectionaries, that kind of thing. And so it just takes me back to, you know, standing at the counters at, you know, the various confectionaries at Walt Disney World, and especially at the Magic Kingdom, since this area does have sort of a Magic Kingdom-y vibe in a weird way. And, you know, trying to pick out, you know, which piece of fudge or whatever, you know, that I'm looking for. Because normally, you know, I don't get fudge or at many places. And so, you know, Walt Disney World is one of the few that I do. So, you know, to be able to do that here is just as fun in a weird sort of, you know, messed up way. But I love getting to go out and finding, you know, little It's and it smells like the confectionery in a way too. So it's so great. Oh my gosh. I love it.
You know what? That goes right along with my last one I was going to throw in here before we get out of here. And it's Main Street in St. Charles here in St. Louis, which is very much, especially during the holiday season, they do something called Holiday Traditions every year, where they bring in a bunch of carolers, and there's Santas from all around the world, and they give out trading cards. And so what the kids do is, you know, there's carolers that are singing, and they're singing, you know, from different, you know, countries and different languages. In the you know, the you have Pierre Noel, you have Santa Claus, you have just probably, I think it's about, Ricky, have you been to the Holiday Traditions in St. Charles?
I have not.
So
no.
You got to go. There's probably like 15 or 20 maybe different Santa Claus-like figures. It's very much like Holidays Around the World at Epcot. And you have like Jack Frost. And so he's like the most like the most high demand to meet and get his trading card. And you get your pictures with them. And of course, there's an ice cream parlor on Main Street in St. Charles. There's a candy store. There's a soda fountain. There's lots of great restaurants. You know, you have a craft beer restaurant called Trailhead. You got a Frankie Toco's Pizza Italian joint. You know, you have all kinds of places. You even have a place that has pickle shots, which we tried, and it was just pickle juice, I swear. Because a bunch of us did that at the Hot Chocolate. We had a good time with the Shine Golds Gardeners. A bunch of us were there running around, just a whole bunch of us. And it's very much like a Disney experience. I mean, it's even called Main Street. And we got that in St. Charles. And like you said, Ricky, I think a lot of places do have a town or a, you know, an event like that that brings you back to, you know, like an ice cream parlor or, you know, just those things that you get at Disney where, you know, stopping at the Plaza ice cream parlor is a treat and it's something I enjoy each and every trip, but I can do that here at home and it takes me right back. So I think that's a great point.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's just finding those little touches, like, you know, that's what this whole show is about, finding those little touches that really take us to, you know, the world in our minds. And that's the best thing.
Hopefully so. The show does that too. All right.
Yeah, well, it does. I hope it does.
I hope so. All right. Well, hey, here's the fun part. Let us know on your Facebook page. We want you to blow it up this weekend. Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Where in your little part of the world, your little corner of the world, where do you see Disney? I mean, do you have a baobab tree on your commute? Probably not. But what do you see? Because I love these really weird ones. They're so fun. You know, that you see Disney in your little part of the world. So let us know on the Facebook page, Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Can't wait to read and share this weekend. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by our great friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. So when it comes time to head to Disneyland, down to Walt Disney World, or sailing with the Disney Cruise Line, even to Universal, drop by themagicforless.com. Check out all the great specials. There's lots of information there. They have resort guides. It's a trip planning tool, just the website itself. And then while you're there and you've narrowed down like, oh, you know, I want to check out, maybe stay at Riverside this time, or maybe I want to stay at the Boardwalk for the first time. Fill out that free, no obligation quote. An agent will get back to you right away. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. We'll have a great time planning a trip, and we're going to get you the best deal out there. And just plan a magical vacation, because we all love getting down there and it's so much fun. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Don't forget, when you're doing all that online shopping, please use our affiliate link over at Amazon. It's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. We appreciate that so very much. Thank you to everybody that has been using that. We see that it is being used, and we appreciate that so very much. So again, when you're online shopping, BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon for all of your needs. Don't forget to follow us on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. And again, drop by the Facebook page at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, it's time to get out of here and let you get on with your weekend. We hope that you have an amazing one with your friends and family. Get out there, just relax, take some time off for work, even if you work on the weekends. Just, you know, take some time for yourself. Go out for a walk, enjoy a sunset, and just have a great time with friends and family. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wish you an awesome weekend. But whatever you do, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.